yesterday the Michael Rainville racism incident happened where he's talking to people in Northeast Minneapolis in Ward 3, which recently experienced a shooting at Boom Island Park. There was fireworks all up and down 2nd Street on people's balconies. I think there was a shooting by the Guthrie. First, he said like 95% of the people responsible are Muslim. Mm-hmm. And another thing he said was he's going to a mosque and he's going to tell the Somali elders that their children can't have this behavior anymore. And in addition to that being a very racist thing to say, people in the room gave him a round of applause when he said the thing about going to the mosque to tell them about their children. And so it's depressing to think, like, is this what Minneapolis is now?
We're rolling! We are rolling!
Are you familiar with Baywatch, Conrad? Okay, we're here on the Mississippi River on the Wedge Live podcast. I'm your host, John Edwards, and my co-host today is Paula Chesley. Well, welcome to the show, Paula. This is your first time on the show.
It is, yeah.
And co-hosting.
Happy to be a beach consultant for the day.
And, well, our cameraman has fallen over.
Are you okay, Conrad?
There's a log on the beach. Conrad has tripped over backwards. And is looking at the sky right now, but it's okay because the camera's still rolling. We're doing a beach episode. We're here on the Mississippi River.
Yeah, we're at Longfellow Beach. This is an unofficial beach.
How much is this unofficial?
It is unofficial.
Are we allowed to be here?
Yeah, we're allowed to be here. So this is part of the Minneapolis Parks and Rec system, but it's not official in the sense that the Parks and Rec Board doesn't keep it up, maintain it.
We climbed down a lot of stairs to get here.
It's true.
We parked on West River Parkway. We did drive here. Mm-hmm. I apologize.
Well, it's kind of important. Like, I feel like today with 3 people and going to 5 beaches.
Yeah. 5 beaches.
Yeah, we're going to go to 5.
One day.
I mean, hopefully, yeah.
Look at how much effort we're putting into this podcast. Paula, as she said, has done lots of research, weeks of research. Would you say that's accurate?
No, like 4 solid days.
Okay, over weeks, though.
No, just this week.
Oh, just this week. Okay.
Yeah, it started pretty hard on Wednesday. Conrad, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, cool.
There's a bug.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, we're glad you're okay, Conrad. You really did take a spill there. But it turns out the tripod is all that's necessary for this. Conrad is just a bystander. But we climbed down a bunch of stairs, and you told me they were put in by the Works Progress Administration.
In the 1930s.
Year?
I don't know exactly the year. But yeah, so the history of this river and why it is so scenic is pretty interesting. So Andy Sturtevant, a local writer, talked about this in a 2013 MinnPost article, and he said that if Minneapolis had been developed 30 or 40 years ago, like 30 or 40 years prior, like Chicago was, then we probably would have seen a lot more development on the river like Chicago has, like a lot of industry, et cetera. But at the time when Minneapolis was getting developed in the 1880s, 1890s, the park system was like, there was this sort of aesthetic of trying to keep the river natural, trying to maintain parks, etc. So that's why we kind of have an underdeveloped or undeveloped Mississippi River area in the Twin Cities.
Well, that's interesting. We were talking earlier about whether we should go swimming on a river beach, and you said it's not advisable.
It's not, no.
Why is that?
For various reasons. So the water is like too polluted.
Oh, it is. It's too polluted.
Yeah, in a lot of different ways, I guess. Not just bacteria, but also other ways that it's polluted. And also, I guess there can be river currents, unexpected river currents.
I was thinking it was just getting swept away on the river was the thing, but you're telling me it's the pollution too.
Both, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, that said, people do it.
Yeah, you can't stop people from getting in the water.
Yeah. It looks gorgeous. It looks really inviting.
Mm-hmm.
We have some pH strips here to test the quality. It's very scientific.
Ooh.
Yeah. To test the quality of the river water.
Is this a thing that you keep around in your normal life?
No, ordered these specifically for this.
See, you did put in lots of preparation.
Well,
you're
underselling it. You know, I ordered them on Amazon and they came the same day with like Prime Now or something. So, I think I could go test the river water right now.
Okay, Conrad, are we ready for to record the testing of the water? Are we going to do a comparison at the end?
Yeah, I think because we have to record all of the different things.
What does the pH tell you? What do we learn?
This
from
is
that?
Very scientific here. I mean, basically, we match this strip to a color code, and it basically, I think it can just tell us like how close is the Mississippi to like actual water pH.
Okay, and what is our standard tap water?
That's a good call. I don't know if we have one. I measured mine last night, my tap water last night. It was around 7.5. So what we do here, here's the pH strip, and we just put it in the water, see what color it turns out to be.
Okay.
Wait a few seconds here. And then we highly scientific look at this little rubric here, this color rubric.
Okay. And how long do we have to wait until this is at its final state?
I think you can do it like pretty soon.
So, most of it has stayed yellow.
Yeah, I would say it's like a solid 7, would you say?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a 7.
7, 7.5 maybe.
Maybe an 8.
Yeah.
Between there, yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what that tells us, but pretty close to normal water.
Yeah.
What would really bad water, what color, what level of pH would that be?
Well, I tested my kimchi last night, which is not water, but that was around a 3.
Hmm.
So, you know, you could imagine.
Swim in kimchi?
I think you could, as long as you didn't, like, open your mouth, it didn't have open sores.
Oh. You know, I'm a Florida person. I was raised in Florida. I spent a lot of time in Florida. And the beaches there, I took for granted my whole life. And didn't really go a ton. Because it's just like, you live there, and it gets old, right?
Yeah. How far were you away from the ocean?
Maybe 15, 20 miles. Not very far. It's an easy distance to visit all the time if you want to. But if you live there, it gets old.
So were you one of these people that when you moved to Minnesota, you thought, like, these aren't beaches because they're with lakes and rivers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, right? These aren't
beaches. You still think they're not beaches?
So when I first moved here, there was a little bit of novelty. Like, oh, it's a lake. You're swimming in the lake. That's interesting and weird and new. But after, it's not great. Like, the beaches, you're stepping on rocks. These beaches are not great.
Here?
Great, here in the city. I don't know what happens outside Minneapolis. But.
So do you go to beaches a lot here?
So the first couple of years I lived here, I would go to the beach occasionally because it was new and I don't really do that anymore.
Oh, okay. So what do you do instead during the summertime?
Well, lately I've been stringing up my hammock between two trees in Kenwood Park. I love doing that.
Yeah, that's a good, yeah. Nice.
Do you do a lot of beaches?
I do, yeah. I do like to go to beaches. It's not the only activity I like to do, but it's really fun to like bike to a beach and then sit there with friends. I love the people watching. One of the things that I want to do today is ask people what their favorite activities are at the beach. I like to people watch. I like to be in the water. I like to be with my friends, read a book. Yeah.
Put on sunscreen. That's important.
Yes, yeah. So before we started filming, we actually, all of us put on sunscreen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is a...
It's a sunscreeny kind of day.
Safe.
Safety first.
Have we covered the first segment here, you think?
I don't know how this is your podcast. I don't know how this works. So
thank you, Paula, for reminding me this is my podcast.
There are some things that I have to say in addition to, like, you know, I have on my list here, I have a couple clipboards for those who are just listening to the audio.
Okay.
And I have some topics to cover here. So, I mean, first of all, wanting to, like, talk about river beaches versus lake beaches. So these river beaches are unincorporated. This is Longfellow Beach that we're at. But then there's also White Sands Beach, which is just up on this side of the river. And then across the river, still in Minneapolis, there's a beach right around Franklin Avenue. And I believe that has historically been referred to as, quote, Bear Ass Beach.
Hmm. There's a lot of nudity going on there.
So that's another beach that I wasn't able to visit. I don't know what's going on there right now. The name would lend itself to that, yeah.
Hmm. You weren't able to confirm?
No, not this time.
So you have researched where people in various parts of the city go to you know, get in the water, go
yeah,
to the beach.
Yeah, and yeah, one of the things that I found really interesting, you know, is that living around a lake, obviously, like, is a desirable thing to do. It increases property value. So a lot of the lakes in Minneapolis tend to be in more affluent neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Not all, but many. So that's another reason why I wanted to come to a river beach, because this is not in the western part of the city, more eastern.
Mm-hmm.
And also just seeing what the vibe was at the river beaches.
Yeah, there's a kind of split. Like, you have the far western part, southwest part of the city with those lakes, and property values are high around those lakes.
Mm-hmm.
And you move towards the Mississippi River. First, you hit the interstate where property values are low because we clear cut a lot of neighborhoods where people of color lived and decided we would put in this big polluting piece of transportation infrastructure.
Yeah.
And property values are very low there because that's not a thing people want to live near if they can help it. And if you keep moving east, you hit the Mississippi River and property values get very high again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's the basic geography of South and Southwest Minneapolis.
Yep.
Beaches.
Yeah, so I think that one of the things that we need to talk about today is access to beaches. And they're mixed. That's kind of a mixed results there. Like, in the sense of transit to beaches is okay,
mm-hmm.
but the beaches are not equally dispersed throughout the city. One thing that I looked at was, like, if there isn't a beach in a neighborhood, is there a pool or is there a wading pool so that people could at least have access to some sort of cooling situation,
mm-hmm.
which I think is really important, especially as climate change will make this place hotter in the summer.
Yeah. That's the thing I wonder about, is where do I go if I want to go for a swim and I don't belong to, like, the YWCA or the YMCA? And I think Minneapolis only has one public pool.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I looked and I didn't see any. What is this public pool?
Isn't it in North Minneapolis? Don't they have like a pool, like a natural? I'm feeling very unprepared now for the podcast.
Is this at a park and rec center? We can Google it in transit.
It's a park facility.
Okay, yeah.
I think Northeast has like a water park.
Yeah. So there's that. And there are a ton of like wading pools throughout the city.
We have a wading pool in Mueller Park, which I've never gone into because as an adult, it feels weird.
Yeah.
To go into the wading pool area. Conrad, didn't you invite me into the wading pool area at Mueller Park once? And I'm like, no, Conrad, that's not appropriate. That's not for us. Why would you do that?
Okay. I've been into the wading pool at Powderhorn, but only with a child there.
Yeah. You basically need to rent a child for the day if you want to visit any of these
something like that, yeah. So the wading pools, there's pretty good access throughout the city, but a wading pool is not like a pool. And like you said, like for adults, it's not great. So there isn't a ton of access to cooling water spaces. If you live in the center of the city, even in downtown Phillips area, even Northeast, except for that water park.
So there's a lot of talk about Lake Hiawatha and the golf course, and like an incredible amount of trash is washed from our streets into Lake Hiawatha.
Yeah.
And that is also the case for a lot of other, not to the extent of Lake Hiawatha, but like the runoff from our streets eventually makes its way into our lakes.
Yeah.
And that's what people end up swimming in eventually.
Yeah, so Lake Hiawatha, because of that, is currently closed. Right. E. coli levels are too high.
Is swimming in Lake Hiawatha a thing?
So Lake Hiawatha, yeah, it was just closed a couple weeks ago due to E. coli, due to all of the fertilizer at the golf course. Oh. And people do try to swim there. I was there last Sunday, and there was a huge group of like 20 people. They were really excited to go swimming in the lake, and then I got there just when they had just arrived and were discovering that the lake was closed.
Okay.
And they had all their floaties and everything, and I asked them what they were going to do. And some of them, they were divided. Some of them said, let's just go to Lake Nokomis. And others said, no, we always do this at Hiawatha. We're staying here.
Oh.
So when I left, they actually were going to stay at Hiawatha.
And go swimming.
Well, how they managed to justify it is they were like, well, we're not really going to go swimming. We're just going to sit on floaties. And like, that's okay, right? Or we're just going to go in up to our waist, and I don't have many open sores on my body. Somebody specifically said that. Wow. So, we got a little dragonfly friend here. Looking at beach history and beach lore, this is mostly a joyful podcast session. I feel like we really have earned that in Minneapolis and the world. But there are a couple of moments of like darker beach history.
Oh, dark beach history, Paula? Really? You're introducing dark beach history?
Do you want to hear it? I mean, it's part of...
Okay. Be prepared. We should do it.
Yeah. So in 1991, there was a murder on a river beach just up here.
Is this becoming a true crime podcast?
No. No, but it's really sad because it was actually a hate crime.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was so that in the 1990s was known as a gay beach, and John Chenoweth was a former state senator in Minnesota.
Was
murdered at the gay beach by a guy who had AIDS, and when he found out that he had AIDS, he got very upset at the gay
people,
community.
Yeah,
and killed two of them.
Hmm. Wow. Do you have any more dark beach history?
A little bit, but we'll save that for later on, I guess. Yeah. But that was the darkest moment, I think.
That's pretty dark.
Sorry about that. But yeah, I mean, I think it's part of the city history.
Yeah.
You know, many of us were alive in 1991, so.
I was, yeah. I was alive.
Yeah, me too.
Conrad, were you alive in 1991? No, you weren't. You're pretty young, Conrad. I'm realizing I forgot to put sunscreen on my legs. Okay, we're on to the next segment on the Wedge Live Beachcast, which is what we're calling today's podcast, Beachcast. Joining me is Andrew Fromm.
Yeah.
This is your neighborhood beach here, Longfellow Beach.
Yep. Yeah, I've lived in Longfellow for 5 years now. I think we discovered this beach probably a year or two after we lived here, because it's kind of hidden a little bit.
You have to come down a lot of stairs.
Yeah, there's a lot of stairs. It's not super accessible for that reason, you know? But like we have a toddler, we haven't brought him down here because the bring him down a bunch of stairs doesn't sound too fun, but it's a nice little escape for us. So
it's a very nice morning. I enjoyed the climb down the stairs.
Yeah,
they're very well done. I heard from Paula that they were put in by the Works Progress Administration in the 1930s.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Historical stairs.
Cool.
So do you come here frequently?
Yeah. And when nicer weather, it's pretty because we're in the neighborhood. It's just convenient to come here. So it's low barrier to entry, right? We're like we can walk here, we can bike here.
So your claim to fame, at least with me, is that you get into it with Carol Becker on Next Door, or at least you used to.
Yeah.
And there was one incident where, or was it E-Democracy, where the Andrew, because your name is Andrew Fromm.
Yeah.
Which looks like Andrew Fromm, and you're like, Andrew from where? That's your natural, from where, Andrew? Andrew Fromm, where?
Yeah.
And so, People think that's a fake name on, was it Edemocracy?
It was a Nextdoor, yeah.
Nextdoor.
Okay. I haven't gotten on there in a while, but yeah, that was kind of a fun moment where I was just like, you know, I'm a delegate, you can look me up probably.
Yeah.
So.
We can start talking about beaches now, enough Cheryl Becker. What do I need to know about this beach as somebody who doesn't live here?
Let's see. I don't know. It's kind of like a low-key place. There's not a lot of people here, but, you know, there's someone walking dogs earlier, and that's what's kind of nice about it. It's just, it's a quiet place to just hang out. Sometimes at night, there will be people who will, like, do, like, a fire, so you can actually see, like, little bits of charcoal.
I've seen the coals.
Yeah. I know, like, last year, I went here the day after Independence Day, and there was quite a bit of trash from some people left over from fireworks and having a bonfire, so I picked that up. So it's kind of nice to come here about a week after that, and it's relatively clean.
So if I start hiking down that trail, how far can I get? Does it just continue down the river until forever?
There's going to be some spots where it gets trickier, but yeah, there's like some trails and some like shallow caves and stuff down there that you can go explore.
I would think the hiking along the river is fun.
Yeah.
I like to walk around Cedar Lake. I've been doing that lately. It's very quiet and peaceful, and it's like you're in the middle of a forest.
Yeah.
There's not many places like that in the Wedge or Southwest Minneapolis.
Yeah, that's what I've done with my spouse too, is like just further south of here, there's the like a park area. They call it an oak savanna. Mm-hmm. And so there is a whole, what do they call it, the Friends of the Mississippi River. They kind of have a whole project there for sustaining that environment. So that's really nice to go and walk there. So my spouse is from the country, and so they really like coming here because it kind of feels like the country, you know. Mm. It doesn't feel like you're in the city.
What's the country?
From Montana.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So rural, sorry, I should say.
And no, I know I understood. I was just wondering
yeah.
what you were referring to by the country.
Yeah.
That could be rural Minnesota.
It's true, yeah. But from Montana, but there it's more like you know, open grasslands and stuff.
I tend to think of it as Richfield, though. As somebody from the Wedge, I think of the country as Richfield.
Sure.
It's all a matter of perspective.
Like, I work for Target, and they have the North Campus in Brooklyn Park, and I call it the farm, because there's farmland around it. So.
Is that where they're building the Blue Line out to?
Yeah, that's the last stop, is in Brooklyn Park, right by the Target's offices there.
Do you think people are going to ride the Blue Line to the Target campus when it's built?
I hope. So, right now, they had a bus line that would go from like downtown to there, and then they're not doing that anymore. Metro Transit isn't offering that link anymore, so for people who work there that don't have cars, it's kind of hard for them to get up there, but most people are remote still.
We're gonna get very far afield, because now I want to ask about Target's work from home situation. Should I even do that? Are we working in offices anymore? Is that going to cease being a thing? Is downtown dead? These are very deep questions.
I don't think it'll be dead. I think it's going to be figuring out when being in the office makes sense for people.
Yeah.
Instead of just being in the office and doing your work, but going in the office to do things that require like a whiteboard. That's really hard to do virtually. So sometimes if you're working on solutioning something and
share your screen, Andrew.
Yeah.
Share your screen.
And then everyone
screen.
Tries to draw with their mouse and it looks terrible. So I think in the future people will be more more focused offices for collaboration and not necessarily having to go in there every day to do your everyday work. So
But do you swim in the river?
I don't. My spouse does. They make
your spouse is from Montana and has no standards.
Well, they make a point to not put their head under the water when they swim around here.
Yeah, you got to be careful of the pollution.
Yeah. Concern. So there's like some, especially after it rains. I was like reading up on this recently. If it rains, you kind of have to be concerned about some of the runoff. Than if it runoff and it gets more polluted actually after it rains, which is maybe counterintuitive.
Not counterintuitive to me, because it's washing off
right.
all the human filth.
Right. Yeah. Some people might think of it the opposite way of, you know, it's fresh water from the rain, right? But really,
it's not really the rain. It's what it's washed off of
yep.
our streets.
Just like if you're ever riding a bicycle or a motorcycle, just that initial rain, the road gets slick because all the oil and stuff.
The reason it's counterintuitive to me that it would be a polluted mess is because the river is so big, so long, and you think, well, there's a constant stream of water coming from the very pure northern Minnesota area, and there's just so much water, right?
Yeah.
And so it must be diluting the bad stuff, but apparently not. The river is particularly bad.
From what I was reading, like in the past, I know Minnesota's made some laws to do additional setbacks for farmland. Mm-hmm. So they worry about runoff from the farms and you know, extra fertilizer and stuff like that gets into the rivers and lakes and streams and stuff. So in Minnesota, I know that there was some effort to pass laws to have bigger buffer zones, but I don't think they're mandatory. I could be wrong, though. Mm-hmm. But doing stuff like that upstream to make it so that when farms, you know, do their thing, that they don't pollute our rivers.
What did you think you were getting into when you came to be on the Wedge Live Beachcast this morning?
I didn't expect some chair set up. I thought we were just going to walk around and, yeah.
Yeah. The reason we don't walk around is because the camera equipment is very heavy.
Yeah.
We have the ability to do that. When we took Conrad through Uptown, I realized I was wearing Conrad out.
Oh, that episode, yeah, where you're walking around on site.
I'm very demanding. And I'm like, on to the next thing. We're moving.
A fun story about this beach is, like, across the river, like, over there, there's actually the end of Summit Ave. And there's, like, that, I think they call it Monument Park or something like that. Mm-hmm. And there's some bluffs, and you'll see people there. It's actually very green this year. I feel like more often you can see more of the bluffs and stuff, but
it looks harder to get to over there. I don't know, the St. Paul side is very bluffy.
Yeah. But I remember we, you know, before we lived in Longfellow, we lived on the other side of the river in St. Paul, and we'd come and look over here and be like, how the hell do you get to this beach?
There's steps.
So, and now we figured it out. Yeah, so
apparently no one else has figured it out because it's very secluded. I heard voices when we were coming, but when we got to the beach, no one was here. I thought it would be crowded. It's a very nice day.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when I got here, I saw someone leaving with their dogs. So a lot of people in the neighborhood, like, I kind of, for, like, picking up the beach, I kind of got inspired because I saw someone else doing that. And they, like, live in the neighborhood, too. And they're like, you know, this is my beach, and I like to keep it clean because I enjoy it. They're here with their pet and their kid and running around. So
how long of a walk was it to get here?
I biked here, but it's, like, less than a mile, I would say.
Okay.
For me? Yeah.
That's not too bad.
I live by Longfellow Park, so, which is just straight west of here.
Is that Ward 2?
I have Robin is my council
member. That's Ward 2.
Yeah.
I'm at a loss for beach questions. We're spending all day at these beaches, and I don't know. Obviously, we're not going to include everything.
Sure.
We're going to edit it down. But how much can I talk about beaches, Andrew?
Right. Yeah, I think that makes this beach different. It's just that it's real quiet. It's kind of hard to find. It's kind of like more of a local neighborhood thing. My spouse is a little bit worried about giving the secret out by showing up on the Wedge Live. You know, like, wait, how many people are going to hear about this place?
To your polluted river?
Hopefully it'll get cleaner. I mean, I'd love for us to continue, you know, improving our water quality and stuff. That'd be
great. All this talk about pollution has bummed me out because I'd love to just jump in the river and not swallow some nasty stuff that makes me sick.
Some of the other beaches have issues with pollution? I know, like, this year it's been a thing with, like, algae blooms and stuff like that, too.
This is our first one. And so Hiawatha is the obvious one that everyone talks about because it's got such a large, is it called, what's it called, the area that it drains from? Is there, there's a
watershed?
Watershed?
I think it's the watershed.
Yeah, and it's...
I think you have another guest who's probably better at that stuff than me.
Probably.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of runoff, and I know there's, like, storm drainage from streets, and then there's also the whole trash problem because they have, like, all the drainage. And
somebody tweeted me a picture of a chair that they found in Lake Hiawatha, an entire plastic chair.
Wow, yeah. I think the weirdest thing I found here was, like, a net, it looked like, or something. I don't know if it was a fishing net or if it was just deteriorated fabric. But yeah, that's about the weirdest thing I've found down here. So. Besides the obvious, like, cans and, you know, from people drinking or hanging out, so.
The vibe in Longfellow, what's it like?
The vibe.
Are people on edge?
I think some people are, but I think it's not as, like, it's not as bad as it was, you know, a couple years ago. So it's not as tense. And I feel like I did see some of the people, like, more houses went for sale than normal. Like, I feel like there were some people where it was, like, too much for them, where they, you know, they wanted out.
Interest rates have shot up.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get into, like, housing market talk. you brought it up. interest rates have shot up. So before the interest rate shot up, you noticed a lot.
Yeah, that was like probably like a year ago, like last spring. I felt like there was more because we moved in this neighborhood about 5 years ago, and it was actually really hard to find houses, like to even look at.
Yeah.
And then when we got our house, there was like 18 offers on it. It was very competitive. And that was 5 years ago, and it's gotten a little bit crazier. But I felt like this, you know, like in 2021, especially, there was a lot more houses that were up for sale. Mm-hmm. I know that there was kind of a trend nationally where like a lot of people didn't sell their house in 2020 because of COVID initially. And so then there was kind of this grouping of people like then waiting. And being Minnesota, you don't really want to put your house for sale in the winter. So
the reason I ask about the vibe is something bummed me out yesterday, and it's Michael Rainville. And I don't know when this episode is going to air, but yesterday the Michael Rainville racism incident happened where he's talking to people in Northeast Minneapolis in Ward 3, which recently experienced a shooting at Boom Island Park. There was fireworks all up and down 2nd Street on people's balconies. I think there was a shooting by the Guthrie.
Yeah.
It was a very chaotic 4th of July. And as a result, Michael Rainville is having a community meeting where he says he's going. First, he said like 95% of the people responsible are Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing he said was he's going to a mosque and he's going to tell the Somali elders that their children can't have this behavior anymore. And in addition to that being a very racist thing to say, people in the room gave him a round of applause when he said the thing about going to the mosque to tell them about their children. And so it's depressing to think, like, is this what Minneapolis is now?
Right.
Like, has the turmoil of the last few years and the tension about crime turned us into this kind of city? And I know that's a heavy question to dump on you at a beach cast.
Sure.
But that's why I ask about the vibe in Longfellow.
Yeah.
Because the vibe in Minneapolis is just, it's bumming me out.
Yeah, and like, you know, Longfellow community a couple years ago kind of being the epicenter from the George Floyd uprising and stuff like that. It was, during that time, it was kind of, I tell people it was very surreal because I would, like, during the day, like, there'd be, you could see the smoke and smell it and hear the flashbangs or like the smoke grenades during the day even. And people were like mowing their lawn and stuff around here. It was very surreal and weird. But it was, you know, during that time, community kind of got together. I wasn't too worried. I kind of mostly to reassure my neighbors. And I am a junkie for news. So I was up late. I'm like, yeah, I'll be up. It'll be fine. Yeah. But that was kind of a very tense time for everyone. But during that time for the community meetings and stuff, it was nice to see people talking about like racial justice. And even more recently, there was the, what do they call it? There's a movement in the neighborhood too, where a lot of these homes have racial covenants on the deeds.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a good TPT thing called Jim Crow of the North that talked about that. But what would happen is developers, when they would do these buildings, they would, in the deed for the house, be like, you can only sell it to white people forever.
Right.
And there's been a movement in the community too of like, hey, my house has that, and actually like going and like putting in the legal stuff to be like, yeah, this is not a thing anymore.
Yeah. Kind of,
as a way to reclaim that.
That makes you feel good, but then you're like, houses, I was talking with Paula earlier.
Mm-hmm.
If you live near a lake, your house is, your property values are very high.
Yeah.
And if you live near a river, get close to the river, property values are very high.
Yeah.
And even if we remove the racial covenant in name.
Right. That doesn't really help people that, who weren't able to live there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who still, because of the intersection of race and poverty and racism in this country, in this city.
Yeah, a lot of the parks in Minneapolis, you'll see where it's just single family homes around it, which is kind of a bummer. It restricts how many people can use that, you know, and enjoy it. One thing that I at least kind of like is where I live in Longfellow Park on the north side, there's actually a few apartment buildings and they existed before all the zoning restrictions.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice. I'm hopeful there's an empty lot nearby too, like a big corner lot that they were talking about maybe doing apartments for. So that's something that I hope I would show up and other people in the community show up and be like, hey, this is really important that we have more housing and more people can actually live near these nice amenities. So yeah, the vibe check, I think like my neighborhood is a little bit more progressive than most of the other parts of Minneapolis too.
Things in Longfellow are gonna be just fine.
Yeah. I was gonna make a comment about Rainville's apology too.
Oh, give us that. Give us your take on Rainville's apology.
Because he was like, oh, 95% were Somali, and then was like, I meant the youth in general. I'm like, no, you're pretty specific.
Did he say the youth in general?
Yeah, in his apology, I think he said he meant that, you know, like, we need to help the youth. And wasn't a specific group.
He was about supporting the youth.
Yeah.
So one of the things that intrigued me about this beach, and we can sort of see it here, a little bit behind us and also in front of us, is that it looks like there are some bonfire places where people come and have bonfires here.
Yeah. I have never come and had joined in the bonfires. So I knew that they kind of happen. I've seen it sometimes if I'm like coming home at later at night, you know, like you'll see fires from, because the Lake Street Bridge is right up there.
And so
you actually see some fires down here, which is kind of interesting. I don't know.
Oh, cool.
And it doesn't seem like, as far as I know, that there's anyone discouraging it. And I mean, most of the time they'll kick sand on it and kind of put it out, which is nice. So, and relatively good job of cleaning up. I know like last year, I went the day after Independence Day and there was quite a bit of like, you know, trash that I kind of cleaned up.
Yeah.
But usually I think people do a pretty good job of picking up after themselves. So.
Yeah, so that's another thing I was curious, because you mentioned this like community aspect of cleaning up these beaches, and that's something I heard talking to people across Minneapolis for all beaches, for the unofficial beaches, that like communities like come together and just kind of clean it up.
Yeah.
And that's something you do?
Yeah, I kind of was inspired because I saw someone else and then like, I don't know them, but they live nearby, and I was talking with them, they were picking up trash and they had their dog with them and their kid, and they're walking around like, oh yeah, you know, it's our beach and we clean up. I'm like, that's actually, why didn't I think of that? That's a great idea. So I've kind of started doing that as well. When we come down here, I'll bring like a bag and pick up some trash. That way it's nice and clean, and that way people can enjoy it. So I know John and I talked a little bit about river pollution and stuff too. And so that's a small thing I can do to make it less polluted, right?
That's so awesome. How often do you do that?
Probably like only like a few times. We don't come down here like super often, especially now that we're parents with a toddler. So yeah, but it is kind of nice to do. My spouse likes to lay in the sun and like wade out into the water, but makes a point to not to put their head under because of the being the river. But during that time, I usually just kind of go around and pick up trash. So it seems like more productive than sitting on my phone. So,
I love that.
Yeah.
Do you swim in the river here?
I have not.
Okay. Like you won't even...
I will put my feet in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll see some people kind of like walk out in there. I think last time we were here, which is like a week or so ago, saw like a family and like the kid had a stick to feel out in front of them to make sure that for drop-offs.
Oh, that's clever.
Because like the sand kind of moves. Being a river.
Have you ever seen people swimming in here? Like getting
I have.
Head? Okay, yeah. So people do it.
Yep. There's also occasionally, there's north of here, kind of towards White Sand Beach, there's, I think there's like a row club, or I've seen people rowing. Like,
oh, okay.
You know, on the river, which is kind of fun to see. Yeah.
So apparently the Mississippi River is pretty safe to swim in just until about St. Cloud.
Oh.
And then after that, it merges with the Crow River, and that brings a lot of pollutants. And then it comes closer to the city,
mm-hmm.
but there's just more runoff, just being like more people in this area.
Yeah.
You
know, once the pandemic hit, I felt like more people were actually like out trying to swim in this area. With that,
I think I saw that on Reddit too.
Yeah, a lot of the other beaches were really crowded, and so there's this kind of movement towards finding more secluded, kind of like cooler places to swim.
Yes, I know.
And
that
so I
well.
Totally saw some more people than I normally have, because we've been here 5 years, and like after the pandemic, I felt like I'd see more people down here. Before mm-hmm. it was actually kind of rare for me to see someone down here, but now since COVID, it's like whenever I got on here, I'll at least see a person, like either coming or going or being here.
And before the pandemic, you didn't see anyone?
I would occasionally. It wasn't as often though. Yeah. So I feel like definitely since the pandemic, people have been inspired, right, to go and find these places and enjoy nature.
It's cool. Yeah. I mean, it's just so crazy to me that this is really in the middle of the city, and it's really a place where you can be like very secluded if you want to be.
Yeah, you have, because you look around and you, the only like, you can see like a person across there. And then like the only thing that you really see is the bridge right now. And there's so much greenery on the riverfront. It feels like you're not in the city anymore. And you can see a crane. And that's about it.
Yeah.
So it's really nice to be able to come out here and feel like you're not in the city anymore. And then you can explore in the woods here and go down the trails, walk around along the river.
Andrew, can I jump in right now from off camera?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you about your shirt. And it says the Mini Apple.
Yeah.
Does anyone call it that? Anyone from Minneapolis call it the Mini Apple?
Since you mentioned my spouse, I mentioned my spouse earlier, is from Montana. They actually gave me this shirt. So
Of course, someone from Montana would give you that shirt.
But it was like, I didn't have any cool Wedge Live swag. So this is the closest I could get.
So is that shirt just secretly cool because it is so...
So bad?
So ironic.
That it's cool?
Is that what
it is? I kind of like it, because it's... You know, it could have been like the cherry, because we have like our, you know, the spoon and the cherry, but instead it's an apple. I don't think we have any, you know.
I kind of admire you that you're brave. You're kind of cool because you're brave enough to wear that and you're not self-conscious about it at all.
Yeah.
But apparently not cool enough to come here at night.
No. Yeah. Yeah. There's the whole night crowd that comes and does the bonfires, but I've not been cool enough, or I don't know. I just never come down. I'm not the kind of person who can really inject myself in social situations like that. I'd probably just be like awkwardly creeping off to the side or something.
Yeah, you're the weird guy in the Minneapolis shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
Too awkward to interrupt.
We're not going to talk to him.
You have a child. You're not interrupting late night beach parties.
No, yeah. Yeah,
that's fair. How do you feel then about people calling the city mini, simply mini?
I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah,
either.
Also not a fan. Were you originally from Minnesota or?
I was born in South Dakota, but I've been here almost my entire life. I think it was like 2 when we moved to Minnesota.
So, okay.
Yeah. But I grew up in like the northern suburbs, so like in New Brighton, Mounds View. And then once I kind of went to college at the University of Minnesota, I was like, I actually like the city a lot more than living out in the suburbs. And so kind of lived there in the city. I lived in like St. Paul area. College and then also post-college, and the last 5 years have been in Minneapolis in the Longfellow neighborhood. I think one of the biggest things for me about living in the city too is I picked up biking, like bicycling everywhere. So not everywhere, but I enjoy being able to do that. So
was accessibility to the river something that you thought about
when we moved
to Longfellow?
No, actually when I moved it was kind of transit. So because I work for Target and there's a bus stop right outside my house. It's the number 9, and I can just take that straight to work. So when we were kind of house hunting, we were thinking about like transit and accessibility and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that was a huge thing for us to be able to feel like we had a neighborhood that we could walk around and explore too, because we looked at some other places and it felt like...
Sorry, I signal that we are low on battery right now.
Okay.
So if we could kind of wrap up, I know we've been talking for a good long while as
okay.
it is. And then I'll swap batteries, and then John wanted to do the Baywatch running down the beach kind of thing. So I'll switch the camera to high frame per second.
Oh.
We'll do that.
All right.
I have a little spreadsheet here about some things. Do we have time for me to go over this beach?
Yeah, I think we have a couple of minutes here.
Okay, so I just was thinking of it, as you mentioned, bus stop. And one of the criteria that I thought of when thinking about various beaches is like, is there a bus stop within 2 blocks? So not for this beach.
I don't think so, no.
No.
There is some bike parking at the top, and there's the, you know, it's... The river road.
So all of the beaches are pretty accessible for bikers, so that's pretty amazing.
Buses don't go on parkways.
Yeah.
Which I think is a shame.
It is a shame.
I think my Parks Commissioner Becky, I think that she's made some comments about supporting increased transit towards the parks, because I think that's really important.
Yeah, for sure. What would you say the sand quality is here? 1 out of 5 stars?
Because you'll find little flecks of charcoal from the fires, I would give it maybe like a 3 to 4. Okay. So it's not like super pristine, but if you like walk out into the river, it's not too rocky. It's not very bad. So it's nice.
Yeah, I would also say a 4.
Yeah.
Water quality, obviously we have to say no.
Yeah.
It's an unofficial beach. There's no food and drinks for sale. We have to give it a 1 star for accessibility.
Yeah.
Even though
lots of stairs.
Lots of stairs. Yep.
Yep.
Yep, no parking lot close by. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no official activities, no open swim.
Wait, are we giving points for having parking lots nearby? That feels very wrong. For
there is some parking up at the top, actually.
Yeah, we parked just right
I'm
at
just
the steps.
Not a parking lot. Accessibility.
We parked right at the steps. We parked right out front, Paula.
That's so true. That's true.
If you're I was going to say, yeah, there's some that's fair. Street parking.
That's so. Fair. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes these are criteria that people use.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just trying to be fair and. Fair and balanced, John. Fair and balanced here at the Wedge Live.
You're slanted against cars.
Okay, are we going to do this Baywatch shot?
Sure.
Yeah. Andrew, you're going to do the Baywatch thing too?
Yeah, if you guys want me in it.